Not really intense. It was a helpful discussion, and part of it had to do with determining whether we're in a crisis state or not, whether things are falling apart or coming together. The conversation went on and was very good. The thing that I thought of, I've got a number of things that we're going to be looking at that we will be working on over the next couple of weeks. I don't want to shelve entirely what I was going to be doing today, but I want to, in a sense, put some pieces out there in front of us. And I'll start with the thing that just came to mind in my walking over here, but from the classroom over there. I wrote on this paper, The Path Forward, a few weeks ago when I was looking at it. I wrote down generate enthusiasm, and then I wrote this down again the other day when Pat and I were talking about it. And that this morning put on my mind a second passage, because I was trying to find a second passage to read with this one. And it didn't come, it didn't come. And then just a little bit ago, I thought, this is the one I want. And the reason I want this one is this is the passage that Dorothy and I chose for our wedding. And it's Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And my dad prefaced, he was the one who officiated for us, and he prefaced his remarks or his sermon, whatever, with, "I should have known that if I asked Steve and Dorothy to provide the passage for the sermon, they'd come up with something that didn't fit a wedding." Which for me was something of a slam, but that's what I expected. So we started our conversation this morning with BUT, as in but. So what are the buts? But anyway, here's what this passage reads. From Philippians 2, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do not from selfish ambition or conceit, but do nothing, I should say, from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. And for those of you who were at the retreat last week, this is the passage that Brian Algram, our conference minister, spoke from. And does anybody remember how he ended the sermon? Yeah, do paraphrase, whatever. Yeah. Ministers in love. The phrase is completed. See, and so I really wanted to start from the end of the passage. And you helped us. You went right there. Because that was the point. In 16, it says, Ephesians chapter 4, 15, 16, from whom the whole body joined. Okay. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. So Ryan's point was that we are all ministers, and the goal of that ministry is to build each other up in love. Okay, now, a commercial break of sorts. This is a t-shirt I've been not dying to use, but living to use. And it came from my daughter-in-law, from Amanda. And she's a pharmacist at Bunsakur. She just finished there Thursday, and now she starts tomorrow at VCU. But she's a pharmacist, a very narrow specialization in emergency care, and her main work is equipping doctors in, like, interns and so forth. So she wanted to be in a teaching hospital, and the last 5 years she's not been in a teaching hospital, and so she's been waiting to get there. But now, what does it say on this? Can you read that from home? What does it say on this shirt? Bon secours. Secours in French means help. It also means rescue. It depends. You can say a spare tire, a pneu de secours. So it's my emergency tire. That's what secours means, but they've taken it and they've said, they basically, it translates as good help. But I shine. Now, what does that mean? Who shines? Who's the eye? The person wearing the shirt. There you go. So now you turn to the next step in the mystery. The pie chart. Too complicated. Can't read it. Okay, I'll read it for you. In the yellow, there's this section that is half of it. And then down here, there's the other half that's yellow. So they're just trying to differentiate the upper half and the lower half. On the top, it says core culture behaviors. What does that mean? What's a core culture behavior? Expectations for how people act. That's the good, concise response. And then down here, it says leadership behaviors. So both are behaviors, right? So the bottom part pertains to leadership behaviors. And what it says is the leadership will focus on deepening our impact, striving for excellence, striving for results. Okay? And up here it says empowered, unified, and agile. Those are the core behaviors. Now, I don't really find that those are behaviors. Agile, is being agile a behavior? I guess it's a way of behaving, in contrast. Yeah. So flexibility, there are a lot of different words we could use for there. What about unified? What does you, in this context, what does unified mean? Yeah, working together, not working to tear others down, but working together. Collaborative, another word for it. The third one is empowered. What does empowered mean? What you have, you're equipped, you have. And what does that also mean? You're not afraid to act. And what makes you afraid to act? Now, all of that comes together. It conspires. They conspire together. And so in the end here, what their commitment, they're committed to the ministry. Now that's a new word for a hospital. They're Catholic. It's a Catholic hospital. And so they're saying that what we're doing together is not simply pure capitalism. Right? We're not simply here to make money. We're here because we're called to a ministry. Nothing else talks about ministry, right? On the front, it's kind of personal. It means that, but the inference is that if we embrace this circle, and if we hold at the center that it's about our ministry, then everything is subservient to that, right? So why am I showing this t-shirt? Oh no, it applies to us! Mackenzie, you're brilliant. You're coming up with all the best answers. She beat Chris too. You beat Chris too. Yes, it applies to us. But well, who is it, or what is the point of our ministry though? Is our ministry for us to shine? Yeah, it is, isn't it, in a sense? It's because if you know, we've got all these competing things that tell us, let's count. I'm going to watch the clock here. It's 12 straight up there on the second hand. How many competing voices can you think of from this week that tell you how you will shine? Toothpaste? Well, if I brush my teeth with Colgate or Crest or whatever, I'm going to be shining, right? I'm going to be fulfilled. I'm going to be a whole better person, right? What else? Soap. Yes, you're going to smell great and feel great and be great. Deodorant. You're going to smell less. Well, not less. You're going to smell differently than the natural way. Vehicle. What else? Politicians. What else? Vote. Yes. What else? Coffee. Yes. Mushroom powder. If you eat mushroom powder, you'll be way better than coffee. Sugar beets. Oh, I'm sorry. Sugar. I was someplace totally different. What else? That's only eight. And we've already passed a minute. We really failed. No, I think it was great. But the thing is, we're in an environment where we're constantly bombarded by ways to be shining, to be fulfilled, to be our best person. You know, I'm doing chair yoga, you know, and it's good for me because I'm out of shape. I've got a great shape, but it's not the best shape. It's not the optimal shape, you know? So I'm trying to modify my shape a little bit, you know? I'm trying to modify it. And the thing that's crazier than heck is it starts with turning your head gently each. And my favorite line of all in one of the stretches, you put your hands up like this and you gently embrace your body. This is not how I embrace my body. This is not even a warm feel. And I'm supposed to be grabbing my ankles, or ankles, my elbows. I'm supposed to, I can't even reach my ankle, elbows. So I'm doing it now. This is the first time. I need an audience, in other words. The other one is this one here. You know, don't force yourself to touch your fingers there. You know, don't force myself. I have some work to, ironically, I have short arms, exactly. No kidding. No kidding. I'm okay, you're okay, you know? You know? Well, see, the thing that's ironic is this is the arm that I've damaged. This is the shoulder. Well, this one's been damaged too. But this one, the one I expect the least from, it creeps all the way up my back. You know, and this one can't quite do the job, but the one that's failed me the most over the years is the one that does best on that particular stretch. So when it comes to unity in the body of Christ, what does that mean? We hardly have unity in our physical bodies. No? We have parts of ourselves that are at battle. Anyway, in Sunday school this morning, we got mildly derailed, but to me, it's the Holy Spirit. We ended up really critiquing things, you know, a whole bunch of things. And we were talking a lot about the congregational process, and I had Pat print these pieces out, and I just want to keep them before us. And I also modified this document a little bit. It's called the pathway, path forward, ... steps. And down here in the bottom right, it says that Dwayne Beck of the Faith and Life Commission of the Virginia Mennonite Conference, he's the one who prepared this. And I've modified some of the phrases because I don't like, for instance, what local ministry or mission experience, this is in number three, relationship to our world, including the earth, what local ministry or mission experiences have been fulfilling and energizing for our church is what is there in Duane's. And for me, church, when it's used there, would be capital, in a sense, a capital C, and refers to the whole church, whereas this is referring to this congregation. And so for me, when you say church, it's either you're talking about the building or you're talking about the broad structures of the church, but you're not really talking about the gathered body, and congregation is the gathered body. So I have a bias, a strong bias towards congregation over against church. And so we changed all of those in this document and so forth. And, you know, we discussed and discussed and so forth in Sunday school. And we said, so what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And so this is a friendly, this is not a benevolent dictatorship, because Chris used that term. We need a benevolent dictatorship. And I don't ever think that dictatorship is appropriate. But what I would like to do is sort of spend some time working on focusing on some positive things. And so I'd like you all to either turn in groups of three, like Pat, you could turn around and just talk with Twyla and band, and then the three of you could talk, or you could join there, you know, just groups of three or four, and just look at these questions, and either, you know, pick whichever one you want to respond to. And then I'm just going to give you 5 minutes on that. And then, so just, you're not being asked to do the whole thing, but hopefully it'll get you interested in doing the whole thing. And part of the point of this is to say, what are we building on? You know, we've identified all these things that we want to affirm about the congregation and so on and so forth. But now this is taking it to, let's name some experiences. Let's name some experiences where we recall a specific experience or relationship within our congregation that has deepened your relationship with Jesus. That's one thing to respond to. But there are all these others. What are the signs of caring for each other? How do we experience caring? So let's take some time. And like I say, 7 minutes at 25 after, I will stop this. I don't know how many people are on. So go ahead, turn and choose something. There are a few of you at home. There you go. Can you hear each other if you talk? If you unmute yourselves, then can you hear me now? You can hear me. Do you have that bulletin insert? It should have been online for you. Okay, maybe that's not going to work. For those of you at home online, if you can look at that handout that has that, what's the way forward, what we're wanting to do is to identify some of the ways in which we are unified in Christ. And those things come down to particular actions and particular times when we've experienced God through each other. So that's what this first little exercise is about. And next week and possibly the week after that, we will continue to build on this conversation. So they received that, huh?
Saying anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, I don't know. I wasn't sure how to work with this. But so I can say, or you could say to them, if you just write it down for yourselves, you can, that's good. We've got about another minute before we come back together.
That's a loaded question.
Which is? Well, we could have said four.
Fellow, our granddaughter.
Yes.
Walk past me Friday. I don't know if he's cutting us off. No, the whole Bible says. The next section is reading. She texts the Bible. We have a child. And I said, oh, well, I'd love to. I could teach it. I know. And I love to tell her. She asked me that, yeah. So I'm looking at Amazon, and I did find a few things, but I just was going to ask. And also Lisa Ziegler.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, there are a number of things that are developed for different age groups,
right.
and so. Okay, if we can come back to a mild state of order, is there anyone who wants to share from what you talked about?
Well, taxes done when you like it or not.
Yeah, there you go. She's a cook. What does it mean when she uses done?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mel.
Oh, well, yeah. Pump me up. Okay. In relationship to God, the first question, recalling specific experience relationship within the congregation that deepened relationship with Jesus or God. And we pretty unanimously agreed the fellowship meals that we have. And that answers the question about experiencing joy and peace with the congregation and God. And then what do you do to encourage spiritual growth in our congregation? Actions such as visiting the sick, sending cards to people, threads together, the things that we do. Meals, yes, that's coming up here. Group singing, that was another thing that in reading, yes. And relationship with one another, how do you experience caring in this congregation? One example was when we do meals for people who are in need. I can't remember, what's that called, meals? Take them a meal. So, but you know what I'm talking about. And signs of caring for each other is sending, the card showers that we promote for various people. I think that's as far as we got. And did I miss anything from our group? Okay.
Great. Thank you. Next group. You don't all have to share, but if you can, that's great.
I think we agreed that the relationship with God is, of course, primary, but in terms of emphasis within the congregation, let's just say that Philippians 2 is a beautiful example of a marriage text, because it's
43 years later, I finally hear that.
Go back and look at what it says about empathy for others,
yeah,
and the need for the relationship with one another, not just marriage, but
exactly.
We talked about the passages about empathy for others, looking to the things of others, it says there. Anyone knows that when you set the thermostat in your house once you've gotten married, or you've fix the thermostat in the bedroom and it's okay, a little cold, a little hot. The thought is that we may, as a congregation, need to work at setting the thermostat in the room sometimes. And it really takes a good deal of empathy to do that, to look to the things of others, to try to figure out not what's the best solution to, say, oh, small things like what the building next door looks like, but what's best for everyone? What keeps us together? What keeps us as a congregation? What keeps us empathetic with each other to be that sort of community? And again, the ultimate example is, of course, Christ taking on himself the form of a servant for doulos, slave. It's ultimate empathy that Christ had for us. So yeah, the relationship with one another would be a very central stress for this group. Very Anabaptist, if I may say, thing to do.
I guess I'll share so Snooki doesn't have to and get weepy and all that. So we actually went about it a little bit differently, I guess. On the very first one, we talked about specific experiences and specific relationships through the years. And Snooki shared that Ernie Miller is a very specific person that encouraged her 30 years ago, 20 years ago. So we were talking about being an encouragement to each other. That's deepens our relationship. The other thing was encouraging spiritual growth. Just the idea that we have every Sunday a place to come, people that will be here, people that are participating and planning the service, that is such a blessing. We have that in place. It's always here for us. So that was kind of a neat thing. And the other thing we talked about was feeling fulfilled when we all participate to fill bags for Thrive and in Gathering Sunday. And I think the experience was probably similar recently with the school kit bags. That is a very fulfilling thing that deepens our relationship as it relates to the world.
Thank you.
Ours is sort of a repeat of what y'all have been saying, but we focused on this section where relationship with one another. What are the signs of caring for each other? Specifics were like Jackie making cupcakes, bringing them here Sunday morning, being encouragers of one another, praying for one another. Like Thursday evening, Twyla invited people to her home for the prayer meeting, messaging one another, text messaging, whatever, phone calls, meals, just showing up, being present. Like this past Wednesday, just showing up for game night, or showing up last Sunday up at the retreat center. And also the threads together was a biggie. And for Jackie also was, you know, picking her up, rides to go to the retreat center, rides to come to church, sending cards, is how we live together at our best.
Anything from folks on Zoom? Great. Thank you. I think this is in spite of ourselves, I think there's a growing consensus, you know. Are we fully united in Christ? Well, in some ways we don't even know what that means. But we have enough of a consensus in that direction that this is what our unity looks like, you know? And in a lot of ways, I say that's already enough, you know? So for me, I've been getting to know you for a year, you know? And you've tried your best to frustrate me in some ways. Some more so than others. But But the thing is, what I see says to me that I'll say it differently. I wasn't planning to say this or anything in particular like this, but I want you to know that I am not in the least discouraged. You know, there will be more people that die. It's a given. There will be more people that decide not to come back. Right? It may be that you have to look at it and say, you know, if we're going to hold you on, Steve, after December and January, we need to renegotiate how much we pay you, you know, and we have to lower it. We may have to have that discussion, because the way things are going right now financially, we're well short of our goal, right? So these are things that we may have to talk together. But the fact of the matter is, if our sense of what we're drawn to and the direction that we're moving is right, then that's what we need to do. You know, we need to continue expressing our love for each other, our love for the world, and being united in sharing that, at least in this context, but hopefully also in all the people that we encounter. And so if we in a sense begin by saying, you know, my singular goal is simply to express the love of God to others from what I have received from Jesus. That's already enough. And God honors that and will use that to lead us into the future. So I think I'll just leave it at that.